when somebody accepts that they are a millionaire or a billionaire, it's got nothing to do with what's in their bank account today. Mm-hmm. Their brain says, no, I'm a millionaire. I'm a billionaire. I'll solve this. Yeah, I may be broke for the moment. I may be leveraged for the moment, except I'll recover. Mm. I'll come back. You can't take that away from me. You know, the expression is your first million is the most difficult one to make. Mm. Then once you know how to make $1 million in any period, in a month, in a year, in a lifetime, once you know how to do that, you can do it again and again. Boom, 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 boom.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flow Chart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Wiki. Hey, welcome back to the Hustle and Flow Chart podcast. I am Matt Wolf here in studio, but this episode is not in studio. Today, we're actually hanging out in Marshall Silver's studio for this interview, and we talk about a lot of cool stuff, so much stuff that I'm actually going to let Marshall just tell you what we talked about.
Great content.
What do you think about it?
You guys are always so much fun to chat with. You bring out the good stuff.
Yeah.
You ask the right questions. And, you know, the Hustle and Flowchart podcast is remarkable in and of itself. Add me to the mix, and it's remarkable in and of itself still. So at any rate, you want to check out this episode. We talked a lot about money being math, how to reprogram your subconscious mind to think like a millionaire thinks, do what a millionaire does, and produce a similar result. Also chatted about the fact of how do you thrive during these times as everyone's reinventing themselves. So best thing you can possibly do, consume this content. It's going to change your life forever. And gentlemen, thank you so much for letting me be your guest.
Awesome. So lots of good stuff in this one. You're going to want the notes on it. If you go to hustleandflowchart.com/notes, you can get the complete action guide, the step-by-step breakdown of everything Marshall talked about with us on this episode. Go to hustleandflowchart.com/notes. Those notes are completely free. You got to get them within 2 weeks of this episode going live, but you can have the complete action guide Cliff's notes of this episode by going to hustleandflowchart.com/notes. So let's go jump over to the conversation with Marshall right after this.
Marshall, you're back. Round two. I'm going to give you one of
ding,
these.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh, we can touch.
We
no, it's all a scamdemic. We can touch.
So we, this stage holds a dear place in my heart.
That's for sure. You were sleeping here.
I was sleeping right about
Last I saw you, you were sleeping right on the floor.
In these shoes.
I heard you were yelling at Marshall here in his own house.
He was telling me to shut up.
Yeah. In his own house.
What a thing for a podcaster to tell a guest. Shut up.
200 people or whatever's in here.
Yeah.
So we're in your beautiful theater, Certainty Theater.
We're at Certainty Theater in Carlsbad, which, as you know, has been shut down, unfortunately, since March of 2020.
Yeah.
That does not mean that I've been shut down, though. I've been busy.
Oh, I could tell. I mean, you have new additions everywhere in here. So
yeah,
So
we are, we're at the theater. We've got behind us a 20-foot wide by 10-foot tall high-res 4K LED screen. Mm. You see there's a screen in front of me, a giant rear projection screen. And so in the meantime, while everything's been shut down, you know, people have been willing to do smaller events. Mm. They've been willing to do events, you know, with 15, 20, 30, 50 people. Mm-hmm. My capacity, it's 300 seats. And so right now, according to mandate, I'm really only allowed to have 75 people total.
Got it. Yeah.
And so I came up with an idea. I'm not one for virtual events. They just don't, you know, rock my boat.
Mm-hmm.
There's no instantaneous feedback. I tell lots of jokes. Nobody laughs. And me sad. And so I came up with this idea. If we could hold smaller events here so that I could get that instantaneous feedback, I could get the laughter. I could get questions. I could, you know, transform people's lives. I could do hypnosis demos and subconscious reprogramming demonstrations. And we've certified satellite instructors. So it's called our CSI program.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trained to be able to go back to their location and get a big screen TV and a laptop so they can have two-way communication and teach what I teach.
Mm.
So when I'm teaching somebody subconscious reprogramming and hypnotizing somebody as an example, they can hypnotize someone in their location with the 20 people they've got there.
So it's almost just-in-time learning
application. It's better than virtual because you get instantaneous feedback because it's not somebody sitting at their dining room table, you know, in their underwear by themselves, able to turn the camera off because they want to grab a sandwich or go watch the ball game. Oh, yeah, I was watching a seminar. I should go back to that. Because they're there with other people, they're accountable.
Yeah.
And because they're there with other people, they're stretching.
Mm.
And so when we do the fire reading, the certified instructors have the torches and the fuel there. When we do board breaks, the boards are there ready to, you know, do the board breaks. When we do glass walking, they've got the glass bits there.
Oh,
and we just did our first one. We just did our first one last weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm not only excited for me, I'm excited for other people. You know, as a trainer, I have been doing this since I was 23 years old.
Yeah.
I turned 59 this past year. And I've been on stage since I was 7.
Wow.
So I've been on the platform my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
My thing when I started teaching people was I can only reach so many people. And what I do doesn't really translate well to that virtual audience or that that long distance learning opportunity.
Right.
I've trained people to do my content. Mm-hmm. And content isn't difficult. Content's the easy part of it all. The challenging part of it is closing sales.
That's right. Yeah.
I am known as one of the best in the industry at closing sales.
That's what I told you. I'm like, this is the word on the street that I hear. So I think it's pretty, I mean, we hear it from a lot of folks.
I'm
so.
Not really humble. I'm not. If I meet
I'll say it for you. He's the best.
Thank you. If you say best. So.
Yeah.
I am the best. And if I'm not the best and I find somebody that's better, I will be their best student.
Mm.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's a business.
Mm-hmm.
You got to GTFM. You got to get the freaking money.
Uh-huh.
And so many people don't understand how to do that. We just did a small event in here with this setup last weekend. It's the second live event I have done since COVID hit.
Uh-huh.
We did one live event in Vegas in July. We did this one here. And the numbers were insane.
Wow.
I mean, really good. To put it in perspective, and I don't know what everybody else does, but if you have a seminar company, if you have a live events company and you're doing $3,000 a head,
mm-hmm.
that's decent.
Yeah.
You got 30 people in the room, you do $3,000 a head, that's $90,000. That's decent.
Sounds like a good payday.
It's a good
covers
weekend.
Costs.
It's a good weekend. Mm-hmm. If you do $5,000 or $8,000, that's usually exceptional. $10,000, you're at the top of the game.
Per head, right?
Yeah, per head, per mm-hmm. person. We're not talking per couple per head. We did $22,000 plus per person mm-hmm. in this event.
Wow.
Unheard of. It's just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know the reason it happened, two things. Number one, we were able to, in these satellite events, the satellite trainers get certified by me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a much more dynamic experience. We make it fun. You know, there's a machine off to the side here of the stage. Yeah, that
Certainty Cash, baby.
It's a cash blowing machine. It blows cash up and people grab it, do the cash grab thing. At first, I had too much cash in there. And so we turned the blowers on and the cash wasn't moving because it was too heavy. And I literally had to take 3/4 of the cash we had in it out.
Oh, wow.
And we still gave away over $170,000.
Oh, wow. Really? No, don't take it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. How cool.
So the satellite instructors did phenomenal. Mm. The energy in here was phenomenal because we've got an event going on simultaneously in Florida and Dallas and Colorado and, you know, Pennsylvania, Northern Nevada. And it was just amazing. And so two things I think are happening. Number one, learning has changed.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. We will, because of the stuff that we've gone through this scamdemic, we will never go back to how it was.
Mm.
And colleges, you know, they're still charging the same amount of money, but they're saying, don't bother showing up. So don't come here, but we're going to charge you the same tuition. Mm. So they're getting rid of their buildings. They're not going to have as many on-campus students as they used to have. So that's changed. We went and saw a movie last night. We went and saw Adam's Family 2 last night.
Oh, nice.
It's the first time I've been in a theater, other than my own, first time I've been in a theater since March of 2020.
Man. But why would you leave? Come on.
We do it here. Well, that's what I told my wife when she said, let's go take the kids to Cineopolis. I said, why would we? We have this theater. We have our own theater at home. You know, at home, if you want to pee, you just pause it.
Right.
Yeah. You don't buy $45 bags of popcorn.
You just sneak in food.
Right. You don't have to do that. So we went and saw the movie. But what was interesting to me, I have 3 children and my wife. So there's 5 of us. There were 5 other people in the theater.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And you walk through the lobby, there was nobody there.
Yep. It's creepy.
And so what I think is that more and more people are having the same idea. They're saying, why don't we just wait a month? It's going to come out on Netflix. It's going to come out on Apple Television. It'll cost less to do it that way. And what did we pay? 30 days. Mm-hmm. We just waited 30 days to see the show.
We're used to doing that now.
By the way, the movie sucks. So
well, you just saved us a couple hours.
About $300 in popcorn.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So I think that everything's changing. I think people are going to always be comfortable getting together in smaller groups,
mm-hmm.
whether it's 10 or 20 or 30 people right. in the group. And so this CSI idea now allows me to do everything.
Hmm.
I teach the content that I've been teaching for 4 decades, so nobody has to learn that. I do the closes, which is the hardest part. They collect the money.
Mm-hmm.
So we had one CSI instructor who I think she had 10 people at the satellite event and the live event combined, and she's going to end up making about $72,000 to $90,000 when the dust settles.
Wow.
From my sales.
Is that per event, or is that?
That was just for this event.
That was that one event.
Okay, oh, yeah. This was for this one event. And she was crying when she was telling me about it, and I saw her sales. Yeah. She said, that's more than my husband and I made in the entire last year.
Oh, wow.
So it's life-changing.
Yeah, it is.
And we do our Turning Point event, that subconscious reprogramming event, we do it once a month, sometimes twice a month. Hmm. In fact, this month, we've got two back-to-back events, one in Tampa and then immediately in Orlando. And so you take the
this
satellite
is how you
person
get the footprint.
Oh, yeah.
And start scaling.
She could make a couple $100,000 in a month. So, and I'm doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah, you are. I mean, so you come in, you're doing, yeah, because you are the sales master. So you're training them, essentially certifying them, because you were explaining before we start recording. Content's easy. You said it again here too. And there's usually a missing link with monetization and the sales part. We've experienced that. It's been a topic of discussion. It's like, you have systems, content, all this down pat, but it's like, how about the money side?
And I think that's psychological. You know, we were talking about it before we started recording, that that's rampant inside the podcast world.
Right. Yep.
And I think it's rampant inside most professions. And it's kind of weird to me. The internet is dirty as it is, as naughty as it is,
sure.
that people that have internet-based products, whether it's podcasts or whether they sell product, when that internet marketer goes to sell in person, they'll often say, we have a live event coming up, there'll be no sales done, this won't be a pitch fest.
Right, that's what they lead with.
Yeah, that's what they lead with. And it's so weird to me when they say that, because I think to myself, why would you call it a pitch fest? And if you're not selling something at your live event, are you new? Don't you understand this? Yeah. That's like Amazon saying, you know, other people bought these, but we don't recommend them.
Yeah.
You know, and we wouldn't dare suggest one more thing. You already bought something, so we don't want you to buy anything else. Yeah, don't buy anything else from us. It's silly. But podcasters, I think, fall into the group like influencers. You know, influencers and podcasters. Podcasters want to measure their net worth by how many downloads did I get?
The reach.
Right. How many people did I reach? Yeah. Influencers want to know, you know, how many followers do I have?
Right.
And so they're afraid to offer things for sale for fear of losing audience. And my own belief, again, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I acknowledge that. Not everybody loves me. I rub a lot of people the wrong way. They're not my audience.
That's right.
They're not my buyers. And so, you know, it's the equivalent of somebody who does email marketing. And I was asked by two guys that are the best in the business, Ryan Dice and Perry Belcher.
That's right.
They said, how many people in your database? And I said, not very big, probably about 160,000. And they said, how often do you mail to your database? And I said, once a month. They both said, you don't have a database. And I said, what do you mean? They said, if you're not mailing every day, you don't have a database. And I said, every day? You guys mail every day? And they said, yeah, 2-3 times a day. And I said, well, don't people just opt out? They said those weren't our customers. And they said, you know, the people that stay opted in and open up the emails, those are our customers. And so it's the same thing in any business, that if you're not in front of what I call a target-rich environment, a prospect that would want what you were selling and could afford to buy it, you're wasting your time. Most podcasts, and as you know, I've been talking about launching a podcast, and you guys have been really supportive and helpful and useful in that.
Thank you.
My idea of a podcast is to make money. Bottom line, that's it. I wouldn't launch it for any other reason other than to make money. And we've talked about doing a live show.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious if you want to share the concept here.
Yeah. You know, I come from a radio background. So I've been in terrestrial, I was in terrestrial radio when I was 17.
Wow. You got the voice for it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Carrying on.
Beautiful and relaxing, FM 104 KJOY. Music to have your teeth drilled by. So coming from terrestrial radio, they do all old school tricks. So, you know, they do constant giveaways and, hey, you know, listen in the morning drive and we're going to give away tickets to this, or, you know, listen at 3 p.m. we're going to be giving cash away.
Yeah.
And so I did a podcast before podcasts were hip called Get Rich Radio.
That's right.
Yeah. And Get Rich Radio, what it was I paid people for the amount of time they were on my website. And here's the key, though. I paid them for the amount of time people that they referred were on my website. I paid the person that referred them as long as they were still on the website. So if somebody logged on and they were earning $50 an hour, they get $50 for every hour they're logged on with me. But if they referred 10 people, that's $500 additional dollars per hour as long as they're logged on. If they log off, they don't get credit for all those other people. we found, as I always do, you know, I like to figure out how are people going to game a system?
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do to game it? And I knew what they were going to do. They were going to log on and never log off.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, the Alexa rating of websites, we went from website 452,000 in the United States to 1,800, number 1,800, in 30 days.
Wow. All pure engagement.
Pure engagement. It was just, it was all viral. Everybody was telling everybody, you got to log on. You got to stay logged on.
Yeah. And where was that $50 an hour coming from?
They were scholarship dollars. And so their cash equivalent was a penny per 50 scholarship dollars. Except the 50 scholarship dollars, they could either convert into cash, which added up quickly. I mean, we had people earning tens of thousands a day because of the people that they referred, but they could also spend scholarship dollars to buy items in our catalog.
Gotcha.
And the items in the catalog would be loss leaders.
Uh-huh.
So it would be somebody, some trainer's preview talk. So it would be what they would normally sell at a discount or a cheap rate. We would put it in there at retail. And then we had a deal with the content providers that if somebody bought Perry Belcher's training program,
sure,
that it was Perry's loss leader, they'd buy that in scholarship dollars, so nothing off our shoulders.
Yeah.
But then if they bought anything else from Perry, we'd split revenue.
So it gave
our contributors massive visibility.
Mm.
It gave them also really good testimonials because that introductory product was getting in a lot of people's hands and it went really well. Ultimately, the trick was I was giving away $1,000 cash, real money, US dollars, every hour. So one person was winning $1,000 cash every single hour. That's why it exploded.
Yeah.
And I would send people their check, their $1,000 check, and I'd ask them, please cash the check, hold the cash in your hand, take a picture, send it back with a testimonial so people can see we're actually giving the money away.
That's
what made it go nuts.
Oh, man.
So you stop and think about it, though. That's a lot of money. That's 10 grand a week. I was doing 2 hours a day, so it's 10 grand a week. We gave over $350,000 in cash, let alone the scholarship dollars away.
Wow.
We gave away $350,000 in cash. Most people couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Most people couldn't afford to do that. We also ran ads, so we had ad revenue coming in. The thing is, though, my business is the back end.
Mm-hmm.
So Get Rich Radio generated, you know, thousands of prospects to come to our live events at the time.
That was the top of the funnel, basically.
Yes.
Right.
Awareness.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And so, you know, what a lot of people don't realize when you're building, when you're figuring out what is that ascension, you've got a lot of people that will listen to something, watch something, consume something for free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You've got another class of fan that will pay an ongoing subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody needs to figure out what's their subscription. We have a training program, a coaching program. It's a $2,000 per month subscription.
Mm-hmm.
On the other end of that spectrum, though, our highest end program is called Inner Circle. Mm-hmm. And it's a 3-day training program. I teach it at my palace, my 17,000 square foot home in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, when you have that kind of a range, you have an ascension. Some people won't buy whatever you're selling, even if it's free.
Mm-hmm.
Most people would pay a little bit of money. Then you've got people, they literally say, how many should I buy?
Mm-hmm.
What should I buy and how many should I buy?
You're like, you're my people.
Yeah. That's the margin.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't understand. We were doing an event in here. I do, you know, all sorts of things because I've been doing this for so long to enhance sales. And one of the things that we do to enhance sales is I'll offer up that $60,000 package. And then I'll offer up a 10% discount, what we call our first mover bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 10% discount, you know, $6,000 off to the first four people who take care of their investment in full by 3 days later. Give them a chance to move cash or do whatever they need to do.
Sure.
And every time we do it, I have one of what we call back of room people, BOR. I have a BOR person, teammate, stand in the audience visibly.
Yeah.
Because the moment I say I'm going to do that, you'll have people fighting to get their attention to say I want to be one of those four people.
That's the way in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, once again, getting back to the whole idea of monetization, it's that be unafraid to monetize.
Mm-hmm.
When you believe in what you're selling, you have a moral and ethical obligation to sell it.
Mm.
Should you not believe in what you're selling, you have a moral and ethical obligation to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And when you believe in what you're selling, you're entitled to be rewarded for that.
Yeah.
You know, when you're given great value, my prayer during this podcast is that somebody that's doing a podcast right now, that's got a great following, that's got phenomenal content, they're about to give up.
Mm-hmm.
They're going, I don't have time to do this anymore.
Yep. Or even get started. They have this vision, this idea, or they've heard other successes, and they're just, there's something stopping them.
Right.
And what's stopping them is the idea that they're not sure it will work.
For right. Sure.
When they know, when they're positive that this thing is going to make me $50,000 a month, $100,000 a month, mm-hmm. it's done. They're saying, okay, let's start today.
Yeah.
I told you, we had a CSI. It was her first event. She'd never monetized it in that way before. So even if it's only $72,000 in her first event with 10 people,
great.
Well, that's $7,200 per person she brought.
Yeah.
And when you start looking at it from that point of view, what's the thing she's going to do next month? Well, next month she'll have 20 or 30.
Mm-hmm.
Next month she'll have 50.
And it's something clicked, right?
Reality yeah. is created by validation.
Yes. Yep.
And more than that, not just her reality, other people's reality.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I only enrolled 15 people in our CSI program right now, our certified satellite instructor program, because I knew that it was going to go nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what's going to make it go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Is we didn't have a story to tell before this past weekend.
Yeah.
Now we have a story to tell. One of the other guys, I think he had maybe six or eight, mm-hmm. and he did two of those sales. Plus he did some other sales, which brought his commissions to about 40K. Again,
solid.
It's found money.
Oh, yeah.
I did the work.
Mm-hmm.
So when that story gets out to the general public, we'll have 100 people contacting me and saying, how do I get involved with the CSI program?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, for podcasters, smart thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's clever.
For podcasters to be able to on their podcast, say, hey, I've got tickets to this event. It's called Turning Point. It's being hosted by Marshall Silver. We're doing a remote version of this where we'll actually facilitate and teach you in person what he's teaching from the hub.
Yeah.
And again, there's so many ways that people that have audiences could monetize, yet they have to get right in their head first.
Yeah.
They have to accept the fact that it's a good thing. You know, when people say, hey, you're just trying to sell me something, I am unapologetic about it. I say, of course I am. It's what I do.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Look at the money.
Yeah. Right? Well it's good for me. Yeah. It's good for you. It's good for the entire economy. Everybody wins.
Yeah. That's what keeps it going.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And when you come back to that point of view, you don't feel bad about it.
Yeah.
You go to a car dealership. Oh, you're just trying to sell me a car. Yeah. That's what we job. Do. That's what these cars are here for.
That's yeah. right.
So somebody that's like a brand new podcaster that's just getting started, maybe they're just getting a few downloads on each episode. What sort of opportunities do you think they have even in the early days?
So, you know, getting back to this was the second event that we did since March of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
We did an event in Vegas because Vegas had unmasked and Vegas was opening back up.
Right.
So we did an event in Vegas and it was our first one in 18 months. And I think our sales at that event were like 13,000 per person.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the satellite events going on, so we didn't have that additional excitement. Yeah. The one we did this last weekend, we only had 35 new buying units
mm-hmm.
because the way that I normally fill my events up is through strategic alliances.
Mm.
I go on podcasts, I speak at other people's events,
yep.
and we didn't have any of that going on. So we had 35 people. We did over $800,000 in sales to 35 people. So my point in this, to answer your question,
mm-hmm.
is I have a small podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that big an audience. I need to figure out who my audience is, though,
mm-hmm.
because we get wealthy by serving other people.
Right.
And we mm-hmm. get wealthy by giving them what they're looking for in a way that matters to them.
Mm-hmm.
My job as a person of influence is to change the frame.
Hmm.
Change the frame around the outside. Somebody in podcasting that says, gosh, maybe I could do live events. Oh, that's so much work. I don't know. You know, I've got 50,000 downloads a month, but what do I do?
Yeah.
Well, it is a lot of work to do live events. So you want to team up with somebody that's already doing live events. Don't reinvent the wheel.
Bingo.
Well, I don't want to have to sell. That's fine. Let me be the fall guy.
Hmm.
And so that person that's just getting started, number one, figure out what you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend of mine. He's a big podcaster, actually. His name's Doug Billings.
Mm, okay.
And Doug has, he told me, 2.3 million listeners monthly.
Wow.
2.3 That's million great. Listeners. That's a lot of listeners.
Yeah, it's a lot. Oh, yeah.
He's a patriot. And so his message is for patriots.
Uh-huh.
So he'll have people like Mike Lindell and Patrick mm-hmm. Byrne and Sidney Powell on his show on a regular basis. Hangs out with Mike Flynn. I just saw a picture of him this morning with Mike Flynn. He's got that many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how much money are you making? He said about $40,000 a month.
Oh,
again,
man.
That's decent money.
Not that kind of download number.
No.
No.
No. And he said, I don't understand. He said, you know, maybe patriots just don't have money. I said, that's ridiculous.
That's not true. Yeah.
No, that's way not true.
Yeah.
No, the patriots have all the money. They're in fact, they're my avatar. They're conservative. They're generally, you know, 40 to 60 years old. They're married. They got $150,000 in their bank account. They own their own house.
You know your audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
The target.
And so when he and I were chatting, he said, what would you do differently? I said, what's in it for them? So right now, and this is back again to your question, mm-hmm. what's in it for them? When I teach people how to be better speakers and trainers, mm-hmm. I ask them, do you teach a soft topic or do you teach a hard topic? Mm-hmm. And they say, what's the difference? I said, having a better relationship with my wife is a soft topic.
Right. Okay.
Buy this piece of real estate for $30,000, sell it for $60,000. That's a hard topic. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. a hard topic, you can do the math on it.
Right.
So what I do is I help people understand what's your hard topic and how do you take a soft topic and turn it into a hard topic? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you guys, you know, your podcast speaks to entrepreneurs.
Right.
And you've had some amazing interviews on your show, mm-hmm. just really great content.
Thank you.
It's always got to come back down to, though, how do I, as a consumer of the content, monetize this? Mm-hmm. What was the money takeaway? You had Cialdini on your show, and I'm a big fan of, you called him Bob. I call him Mr. Cialdini. So, wow, there's our relationship. Robert is just an amazing talent, been teaching influence forever. His foundation is the foundation of all influence. Mm-hmm. You know, I came about my understanding of influence as a hypnotist, mm-hmm. and that's the reason I understand it in the way that I understand it. I see so many different people, a Brian Tracy or a Tommy Hopkins. Tony Robbins is a good example. Uh-huh. You know, I share the stage with Tony Robbins on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Big events, when the big events were being done, you know, 15,000 people in an arena.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to bring them in.
Yeah, he brings the people in. They pay him $250,000 to speak.
Yeah.
They give him $50,000 for his private jet. Mm-hmm. I pay for my own private jet. I don't get paid a dime to speak. Except I'll make more money on each of those events than Tony Robbins makes.
It's that communication, it's the word.
Because I get out on stage and I sell something. Mm. And so I sell not only on the front end where he's going to make $250,000 on that event. And again, this isn't ego talking. This is just a hard topic. This is math. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make $1.5 million because I'm going to sell something. Mm-hmm. And because I'm unashamed and because I never from the beginning thought, oh, protect your brand. Don't be known as the guy that sells things. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, I'd like to be known as the guy that sells things. Well, you won't have as many fans. I don't have anywhere near the number of fans Tony Robbins has, mm-hmm. except we monetize differently.
Yeah.
Just a different game.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. Yeah. It's the values. It's the goal. It's the target. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's your path. That's his path. You know, we all have ours, but yeah, I think the money thing though needs to be unlocked with more people. And I think now more than ever, you know, you see more influencers, more podcasters, more media in general. And that's where our attention is at these days.
Yep.
That's also what sells for brands. So it's like, okay, well, we got to figure out the missing link there.
Well, think about Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, classic example of the classic podcaster.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy who, unlike a Rush Limbaugh or any traditional broadcaster, didn't need anybody else's approval.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He said, we're going to keep coming back to this thing. And, you know, who was he? The guy that got people to eat bugs?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Fear Factor? Fear Factor guy. So he wasn't a brand. He wasn't a name. He just started doing his podcast, except one thing. And this goes back again to that person just starting. Authenticity is interesting. Mm-hmm. Love them or hate anybody, when they're authentic, at least you know who they are.
Yep. That's right.
Mm-hmm. The second thing, though, is figure out what it is you're selling. Unfortunately, most people that have podcasts, if they sell anything at all, mm-hmm. they might sell a subscription to their podcast. Mm-hmm. They might sell a VIP membership and whatever that includes. They might sell T-shirts. Mm-hmm. And again, my friend Doug Billings, he sells T-shirts. Yeah. And you know, he sells supplements. You know, he offers up supplements. All those affiliate relationships are great. Mm-hmm. The question I asked him when we were talking last time, I said, you do realize that when you go to an event, he'll speak at an event with Sydney and with Michael and with Patrick. Mm-hmm. When he goes to those events, there's 5,000 people in the room. And I said, so how much do those tickets sell for? He said, the average ticket price is $250. He said they have VIP. VIP is like $999.
So there's money in the room.
There's a lot of money in the room. Yeah. I said, so is anybody selling anything else? He said, oh yeah, they sell T-shirts and they'll have their sponsors will have their supplement stands. And I said, is anybody selling anything else? I'm a patriot. I want to know how to not need the government. Uh-huh. I want to know, you know, I don't want to count on the government's health care. Mm. I don't want to count on the government's handouts because it's a trick.
You want to be self-reliant.
I want to be self-reliant. Yeah. And so if somebody was teaching me self-reliance and they were an example of who I am, they were a patriot too, I'd buy from them. Mm-hmm. So number one, know thy audience. Who's my avatar? Who's my core audience? In radio, they called it demographic. Mm-hmm. Who's my demographic? And then what am I selling? Mm. And if you don't have something to sell, that's the key. Yeah. You know, if you have a Martha Stewart is a classic example. She's a podcaster.
Oh yeah.
That's what she was. That's what she is. Is that, you know, she tinkers in her kitchen. Mm-hmm. She plays around in the garden, but it just so she happens to be tinkering with this set of pots and pans. Uh-huh. Oh, by the way, this set of pots and pans is available.
Yep.
She's tinkering in the garden. Oh, by the way, you know, this is the fertilizer you want to use. Go to my website and purchase the fertilizer.
That's it.
So she's doing nonstop QVC demos.
Yep. Throughout the content.
Right, yeah. through the content. Yep. And so, once again, I say there's three C's. There's content, there's curriculum, and there's closing. Mm-hmm. You master those three C's, the world's your oyster.
Ooh. So the curriculum, would that be kind of the process that you're taking
That's
people down?
The ascension.
Got it.
Yeah, the curriculum is again, we have an event called Turning Point. I've been teaching Turning Point since I was 23. Mm. And we've had millions of people through Turning Point. I've been selling that program for $2,000. My CSIs are allowed to sell that program for $2,000 or less without advertising it. I don't want it out in the marketplace that this program is for less. They keep 100% of that revenue.
Wow.
So if they sell 20 people in a month on attending the satellite event at a discount, $1,000 a person, they keep that $20,000 up front. Mm. Then they make a 30% commission on any upsells that I provide.
Got it.
We have 10 courses in our curriculum. So we have Turning Point as our foundational curriculum. Then we have First Million, Irresistible Influence, all the way through, like I said, our Inner Circle Mastermind Summit. You've got to know what the ascension is. Mm-hmm. One of the center programs is called Crushing It from the Stage or Screen. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. It teaches people how do you sell in this format. And by the way, it's always better to sell one to many than one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Always better to be able to say it one time and have multiple ears hear it and respond.
Yeah, you also get that extra social proof element of if people stand up and go start buying, other people want to get in line.
So we do something again, and I'm not going to give all my tricks away. Come to my seminar. We do a dinner at my events where all of my inner circle people that have invested that $60,000 in the past, I take them to dinner every single time they come to a live event. Why? Number one, I like them.
Sure.
They're good people. They're good customers. They've demonstrated. They're probably not going to come, you know, if I do the event 12 times a year and they come to every single one, okay.
Yeah.
They're $100, $120 a piece each time they come to dinner. They already gave me $60,000.
Yeah.
So through the course of the whole year, what am I going to pay out? $1,500 with tip and drinks? The other thing is, though, is because they come and they're happy and they come back again and again, they bring people. And they bring people that there's that validation. Reality is created by validation.
Yeah.
So they bring people that are target-rich prospects. And if those people sit in on that dinner, I've got 40 people in a room, 20 people are standing up and saying, oh my God, best investment I ever made. I would do it again and again and again. Here's the result I got. Quadrupled the business, my core business, started this side business, you know, did all these other things, made all these hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to all these stories around me and they're all saying, best thing I ever did, best thing I ever did. If I had any doubt, it's gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that is the other thing is that I think podcasters should be more specific about follow-up. What, that might even be a good episode for you guys because of the nature of your show.
Right.
You know, you've been listening to this for a while. You know, we want to proudly announce we've got this many downloads, this many listeners. We have a question though. You know, we did a podcast with Marshall Silver and he said we should ask our audience, what have you done with the knowledge from this podcast that's made you money?
I like that takeaway.
What have you done? Why has listening to our show been beneficial to your business? We just want to know.
Yeah.
Because those case studies, those testimonials are everything.
And those are reels that could be played, that could be an audio sent in, like, hey, go to this link.
It could be a competition.
I like that.
You know, it could be a contest that we want to know. We're giving away a prize, whatever the prize is. You'll be able to spend a weekend studying with us, you know, being near us. We'll help you, you know, guide your podcast. We're doing a contest, though. We'd like the stories of how our podcast made your business better.
Yes.
You know, maybe it's a free consultation, you know, and again, as a podcaster, that's the most natural thing to sell is your time.
Yeah.
How do you get a private session with me?
It's more of us.
How do you buy a consultation? And when you approach it from that point of view, the product's natural.
Yeah. I could see that.
So we were talking again, and I don't mean to monopolize. It's just, that's my nature. We were talking about the idea of a new type of podcast.
Yes.
You remember Dr. Laura Schlesinger?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Uh-huh.
So Dr. Laura Schlesinger, a lot of people don't know this, before she went off the deep end and started, she was always mean, but she went off the very deep end and was really mean.
Got cruel.
She got cruel. She had the second highest rated show, radio show, right behind Rush Limbaugh.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And she had, I mean, she was making, God, I think she was making like $30 million a year.
Jeez.
At her peak. Yeah.
Doing the radio show.
Doing the radio show.
Wow.
And she had, this is the interesting thing to me, she had 80,000 attempts to call into her show on a weekly basis. She'd take, you know, half a dozen callers and she'd answer their questions. Uh-huh. My husband and I are having this challenge, or my kid is out of line, or, you know, I'm struggling in this area. And she'd answer their questions. Mm-hmm. She'd have 80,000 plus people that couldn't get through.
Yeah.
And I always thought, how remarkable, you know, doing a show, a live show especially, because that's to me what my background is and what I know.
Yeah.
And doing a live show where people can actually call in and get advice. You know, I charge $60K for a one-on-one 60-minute consultation, mostly because I don't want to do them.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a good strategy. If you don't want to do something, charge enormous fees for it, because then if people still hire you to do that thing, you'll want to do it.
You'll feel better about it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought, how great would it be that those people that get through, that's all well and good. What happened to those other 80,000, though? They got a busy signal. Yep. They got turned away. What if those people got routed to a trainer, to a coach? Mm. Hey, the queue for Marshall's show is full right now. He can't talk to you. I can give you some coaching, though. Tell me, what are you looking for? You know, what were you going to ask? Maybe I could answer that for you.
The concierge or leading
in. Yeah. And then you collect the data. You say, hey, by the way, you know, you're asking to, you want to get sex more often with your husband or your wife. Marshall has a program that will help get you more sex. Mm-hmm. It'll make you more appealing, make you more charismatic, or you know, you're stressed out financially. Funny you should mention that. We've got a program and we can make it available to you for free to help get you moving in a better direction financially. So whatever it is, it's, you got to collect that data. And downloads aren't enough. Right. And here's the reason I think that the live is better. You know, we were talking about it. I have tons of downloads that I frankly haven't listened to.
Mm-hmm.
I download and never get around to listening to it. If it's a live show, though, and there's some premium. Heck, I used to listen to a radio show here in San Diego that gave away $100 a day. And every single day I would listen to it, attempting to figure out how to win the $100. I figured out the format and I won the $100 15 times.
Oh, so you figured out their system.
I figured out, I figured out their format. I figured out that every morning at 9:07, they would give away the $100.
Got it.
And so I would call in at 9:04 to be the first one calling. And I would have to change my voice and change my name. And
Marshall.
Yes, exactly. Stefan Erkel. Exactly.
That's good.
So
Marshall Silver with an I.
Yes, exactly. It's just M Silver. Just call me M.
I like it. Yeah, Mr.
So I like the idea of doing a live show because it forces interaction, forces them to be there.
Yeah.
You know, we gave away cash not only at this seminar that I did live, we partnered up with people at the satellite events too.
Oh, I was actually wondering how you replicated some of these.
So we randomly selected somebody in the satellite world from the satellite groups. We partnered them up with somebody that was going into the machine. So whatever they took out of the machine, we duplicated and gave to the satellites.
Ooh, so you're rooting, everyone virtually is rooting for Bob over here in the box.
People sent in videos from the satellite events of somebody that was designated watching their partner in the booth going nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, go. And again, we're not there.
Yeah.
They're watching a TV and getting excited. And so whatever we can do to create instantaneous desire and gratification, that's what we want to do on our podcasts. That's what we want the broadcast to be. Anything that we can do to make it fresh, make it unique. I talk about something extensively in all of our programs. What is your unique marketing proposition? What's your unique selling proposition? All the apples are on the table. What makes you the orange? You got to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be an also-ran. You've got to figure out what makes me unique, what makes my show unique. I'll give you an example for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get on stage with Tony Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
Tony comes out, everybody knows Tony Robbins. Yeah. I walk out, they go, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
So I have to make that distinction. Mm. My distinction in the middle of my presentation is people often ask me. So that's a great way to state an obvious thing that might be on somebody's mind. It's a great way to make the elephant vanish.
Mm-hmm.
People often ask me, how are you different than, say, a Tony Robbins or a T. Harv Eker or you know, any other speaker and trainer? Yeah. And my response is that I don't just teach. I also program on a subconscious level. I use a technology that I created called PND, or psychoneuroduplication.
Mm.
When I program into your brain the thoughts of a multimillionaire, so you view the world the way a millionaire views the world, what happens is you will automatically do what a millionaire does. When you do what a millionaire does, you'll produce a similar result.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to be a cocaine addict. In my late teens, early 20s, I was a cocaine addict. I didn't go through a 12-step program. I just one day decided this isn't me.
Wow.
And when it, since it wasn't me, I called up everybody who ever sold me drugs, and I said, you ever sell me drugs again, I'll turn you into the police. Because uh-huh. that's what a guy that doesn't do cocaine would do.
Uh-huh.
I called all my friends that I did drugs with, and I said, look, you can do whatever you want to do. I'm still open to being your friend. If you come over to my house, though, and you do drugs, I'll ask you to leave. Mm. If I go to your house and you start doing drugs, I'll just leave because I don't want to be in that environment anymore.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
I lost every one of my friends.
Wow.
All of them overnight. Wow. All for the better.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, it's not enough to learn. We've got to become someone new.
Mm-hmm.
And that's key.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, if I want to be a millionaire, I need to be a millionaire, as we've talked about on the previous show, before the money has been deposited in my bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I need to not call up my cell phone company because they overcharged me $10 and spend 2 hours arguing with them about $10.
It's like, how do you view your time? Yeah. What's the worth on your time?
What's the value?
Yeah. Well, before we started recording, we were kind of joking about how we look like we're at this sort of Comic-Con panel table here speaking to the camera. And you mentioned, bring up Comic-Con because we could talk about the alter egos, the cosplay that people do at Comic-Con. Yeah. And what you're talking about sounds like kind of that same rabbit hole. So let's go there.
That is PND. So mm-hmm. great segue there, by the way. Good job.
Good job, Matt.
Good job, Matt.
I wonder where that was going to get fitted.
I have a friend that is friends with the people that run Comic-Con.
Uh-huh.
And Comic-Con has always fascinated me because these people become those roles. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hardcore cosplay. And I thought, what if their character was a multi-billionaire?
Mm.
That was the character, or a multi-millionaire, or a really awesome husband, or just a genius. You know, the only distinction between geniuses and morons is they know who they are.
Yeah, yeah.
So a moron looks at something, a challenge they know nothing about, and they say, oh, I know nothing about this. I'm a moron. I can't solve this. Oh, yuck, yuck, yuck. And they move on.
Yeah.
A genius will look at something they know nothing about, and they'll say, I know nothing about this, except I'm a genius. I'll figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody accepts that they are a millionaire or a billionaire, it's got nothing to do with what's in their bank account today.
Mm-hmm.
Their brain says, no, I'm a millionaire. I'm a billionaire. I'll solve this. Yeah, I may be broke for the moment. I may be leveraged for the moment, except I'll recover. Mm-hmm. I'll come back. You can't take that away from me. You know, the expression is your first million is the most difficult one to make. Mm-hmm. Then once you know how to make $1 million in any period, in a month, in a year, in a lifetime, once you know how to do that, you can do it again and again.
And don't you have a saying? It's something like this year is going to be my best.
First million or best millions year. That's what I tell people.
Yeah.
So my recommendation, if your first million is the most difficult one to make, skip it.
Mm.
I mean that. Move right on to the second one. How do you move on to the second one? You use PND.
Mm.
And here's the three steps to PND. Number one, say the words. I am fill in the blank. In this case, I am a millionaire. Step two, gather up the available data. Well, the available data is millionaires and billionaires. They do exactly what you just said, Joe. They say, what is the highest and best use of my time?
Hmm.
They let go of minimum wage activities.
Yeah.
They stay focused on income generating activities, IGAs. And then ultimately what they do is they let go of all the toxicity in their life, whether it's a toxic relationship, whether it's a toxic circumstance, they just let it go.
So mm-hmm. those were the cuts that you were making with your friends back in the day.
Yes, that's what it was. Is mm-hmm. you know, again, I loved my friends, and it was saddening to me to not be near them anymore, except that's why we got together.
Yeah.
We got together to do drugs, and it wasn't useful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the day before I met my bride, I was a whale in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I was a big gambler, mm-hmm. and I would win a lot of money. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with a lot of money. The challenge is it took a lot of time, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I met my wife, I'm sitting there at the blackjack table. She doesn't drink. She doesn't smoke cigars. She doesn't gamble. What a boring girl, by the way. I'm joking. I love my wife. She's perfect.
You've best agree what
best decision
like.
I've ever made. And I'm sitting at the blackjack table, and I'm up $150,000, except I'm looking at her, and I said, why do you sit here?
Mm.
She said, I just want to be near you.
Mm.
And I went, okay, I'm done. We're done. I'm done. I cashed out and haven't played since.
Wow.
It wasn't the money. It was a waste of my time. And I realized, yeah, sure, you're making a lot of money and you're having, you know, raw fun, except what legacy is this?
Mm.
What
mm-hmm.
difference will this make in the long run?
Yeah.
Well, that, and they barred me from the casinos because they got tired of losing.
That'll do it.
I called up Peter Morton, who owned the Hard Rock at the time, after he barred me. And I said something that every player has always wanted to say to a casino owner. You're a sore loser, man. You're a sore loser.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Do you have any blackjack tricks?
Blackjack strategy? Is pretty simple. Blackjack is business. Mm. You got to figure out in your business, what's the Achilles heel? Mm-hmm. And in most businesses, we're talking about it right now, the Achilles heel is they don't sell anything. Mm. They don't have a mechanism. They don't have a process. They don't have the language patterns or whatever it is they need to sell things. You've got to solve that. Mm-hmm. You got to figure out, what is it we sell? What is it that we sell that people will be evangelical about? You know, what I sell is an easy thing to be evangelical about. Mm-hmm. My CSIs come, they make, you know, $50,000 in a weekend. Oh my gosh, money. Let's do this again. Yeah. So when people can do the math, and I say that money is math. When people can do the math and it's a positive return on investment, they'll do it again and again and again and again. So blackjack, three things. Number one, basic strategy. The computers have already played every hand of blackjack that's ever been played a billion times. Mm. Plenty of sources to go to be able to say, okay, I have two eights against the three. Here's my strategy. Mm-hmm. I have two tens against an ace. Here's my strategy.
Got it. Yeah.
So number one, basic strategy. You got to have a basic blueprint for what do you do? What are your standard operating procedures? Mm-hmm. Second thing, understand when you have a benefit. When do you have advantage?
Yeah.
So in blackjack, you've got to count cards. Mm-hmm. It's not illegal. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to do it, and they'll kick you out if they know you're counting cards. Mm-hmm. It's not illegal, though.
Yeah.
So just the same with me, what I do as far as influence is concerned, is supernatural. I mean, it's beyond what most people do. You were in my show. I hypnotized you.
I'm still thinking of it. I'm like, it definitely did set my life up in a different way.
It does, because you start realizing, was I hypnotized or was I just doing what he told me to do?
That was the confusion.
That is it. That was what it was for me when I was 16. Mm. And I thought, well, you know, what was I just doing what he told me to do? What if he told me to be confident? And I just did what he told me to do.
Exactly.
What if he told me to go out and be a multimillionaire? And because he told me that I could, I believed it was certain. Mm. So the second thing is counting. You got to have, what is the strategy? So once again, coming back to the podcasters, coming back to the influencers, I feel bad for somebody that has 1,000 people in a room and then they do sales and maybe they do 750,000 in sales. I look at that and I say, you should have done 5 million. Okay. Mm-hmm. You should, no offense. I know you think this is good. Yeah. You should have done 5 million. Mm-hmm. So number one, basic strategy. Number two, what is your system?
And then the system there was counting.
System was counting. Yeah. And so the systems in business, we got knocked out of the arena from the live entertainment and education business by the scamdemic.
That's right.
I attempted to do virtual events. We did two virtual events, not my cup of tea. Mm-hmm. We did one event that was a hybrid, where we had an audience and a virtual audience, and it worked well. And I said, okay, take it one step further. Not just them watching the live event on their Zoom. Let's plan it in their living room with 19 other people. Mm. And then the third thing in blackjack is money management. And how that translates into a business environment is, what are your resources? How do you leverage your resources? Mm-hmm. Millionaires and billionaires, we don't see debt as debt. We see debt as leverage. Mm-hmm. You know, Kiyosaki will talk about buy income generating assets. And my belief is that's partly true. What I know to be more true is that millionaires and billionaires, everything we want to own is an income generating asset. Mm. You know, I fly around on a private jet. I don't own a jet until now. I haven't flown enough to need a jet. This may be the last year under the Biden administration that you can buy a private jet and write off the entire amount in 1 year. Let's imagine you got some guy who's suddenly become successful and they make $10 million in a profit for the year. They're going to pay taxes on $10 million. Mm-hmm. They go out and they buy a jet for $9 million. Mm-hmm. Well, their tax would have been, let's call it 50% for easy math, $5 million. They went out and bought a jet for $9 million. They didn't pay cash for it. They're buying it on paper. They're buying it through a bank. So they write off $9 million. Now they're only taxed on $1 million. They have an asset that they can also lease out, charter out to other people. And if they charter it out to other people, 80% of the usage, they get their time for free.
Yeah.
But they also got that write off of that $9 million, which they were going to pay taxes on that, $10 million, $5 million. So $4.5 million they were going to give the government, they don't give away, they keep. Mm-hmm. And so the last thing is money management or leveraging resources. And our top three resources, number one, money. Mm-hmm. Money begets money. So the more money you can have access to, and I don't mean just your money, it's credit lines you don't need. Mm-hmm. You want them set up before you need them.
Interesting.
Secondly, and this is most important, and this is the equalizer, your time. What's the highest and best use of your time?
Yep.
Are you leveraging your time? Are you once again speaking one to many rather than one on one? Are you, if you're going to sell something that, you know, kid selling a watermelon on the side of the road for $1 million and his the criticizers come by and say, "Hey kid, how do you expect to sell a watermelon for $1 million?" And the kid says, "All I got to do is sell one." And he's right. And there's people that would buy a $1 million watermelon from a kid just to buy it from the kid.
Yeah. Yep.
They don't care.
Have the story, whatever it is.
It's Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah.
You know, I can't stand Girl Scout cookies. Yet if I see a Girl Scout selling cookies at a table doing her best, I'm going to go over and buy every single box of cookies she has. I'm going to give them away, except I'm going to buy them to give her that experience and reward her for her efforts.
That's so cool.
And then the third resource, so number one, money. Number two, time. The third resource is our networks. Like what we're doing here, like what you guys have so well done, networking with other people, other professionals. We talked about this on a phone call once, and I said, "What's your one of your favorite parts of your podcast?" And you said, "It's the guests."
That's right.
It's the people we get to know. Yeah, we get to hang out 100%. with all these people that have fascinating stories. And other people pay them thousands of dollars for their counsel. They come in on our show and they give it to us for free.
That's it.
And that's a powerful thing. Yeah. Yes.
That's it. I mean, it's the engine, and you just described it with the analogy of blackjack so well too. And there's so many missing pieces though a lot of us don't think about, and money being, I mean, with any creator, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's the hot headline, you know, the clickbait kind of thing. It's like how to make money off of blah, blah, blah. You know?
Well, I want to talk about what's on this sign too. So anybody that's watching on the video is probably seeing this, and this might actually be a good segue into what Joe was just asking here, but you've got this formula, the C equals CM square, certainology.
Yes. And
so if you're watching the video, you're seeing that in the background right now. So do you want to explain that? Because I think it might actually help answer and dive deeper to what Joe was just asking.
Absolutely. The C right there is actually a C with a line through it. It's our Certainology logo.
Gotcha.
And so the C, Certainology, equals C M2 squared, certified millionaire maker. It's a formula. It's a recipe. It's not difficult to make money. It's different. So as we are certifying our CSI, our satellite, certified satellite instructors, as we're certifying them, we're certifying them to make people millionaires. That's the point. And so how the formula works is, once again, how do you become a millionaire? You either sell $1 million items or $1 million item for $1 million in sales. It's not difficult. It's different. The first element, once again, in building a business, you got to fall in love with people, and you got to fall in love with selling things to people. Should you not have that, you're going to be a failure. Second thing is, you've got to figure out what is your unique marketing proposition. What makes us different? What makes us stand out? Ultimately, the appeals of what an offer has to do with knowing how to frame your offer. I mentioned this before. Frame your offer in a way that it's appealing to the person you're selling to. What's more valuable, a Rolls-Royce Phantom or a moped? It depends. If you're living at the top of a mountain with goat path access, the Rolls-Royce is useless. The moped, infinitely more useful. And so, you know, in these times, what do people need? They need to change the programs of their mind. We get beat up on a daily basis by fake media, by false news. We've got politicians who have agendas that they want to control us. And again, I'm not preaching anything. I'm not talking conspiracy. If you don't see this, you're an idiot. Where we are right now is in a time where more than ever, we have to do something that I call objective reality. Hypnosis is the non-critical acceptance of ideas or concepts on a subconscious level. I say something, you believe it to be true, act upon it as if it is true. That's hypnosis. I gave you a program that when I would say certain words, you'd come back to the stage and attack me. I also gave you another program that when I said other certain words, your eyes would close, your body would collapse,
I'd fall asleep.
You'd fall asleep on a stage. Those are programs. So one of the things that has to occur for people is they've got to understand, how do I set hypnosis aside? If you're listening to this podcast, if you're watching the podcast right now, I want you to question the fact that there are people that are less smart than you, less willing to work hard than you, less creative than you, that are making millions and millions and millions of dollars, probably present company included. The question I have for you, what are the ones that are living that life doing differently? My children live in a different reality than some homeless family. We were homeless. I have 10 siblings. We were brought up dirt poor. We were homeless twice.
Michigan, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I live a different life than my siblings. My siblings again, if you had a brother that flew around on private jets and had a 17,000 square foot palace in Vegas and a house on the beach in San Diego,
totally different.
Wouldn't you listen to them?
Mm.
So my point in all this is success leaves clues. Hack their systems. If you're a podcaster, listen to Joe Rogan, listen to this podcast and say, okay, what are they doing right? What are they doing that's appealing? How are they generating audience? I saw you guys for the first time at a War Room event.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's where I had a huge interest in what you do. And everything about your podcast, everything about how you format everything and how you break up the content and how you do all the pieces that you do, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. So as we get ready to launch, that was one of the first things I said to you is, may I please hire you?
For sure.
Mm-hmm. May I hire you? Because I don't want to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
You're going to spend the money somehow. So find the professionals, find the people that are already doing what you want to do and pay them well.
Yeah.
And say, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Because it'll save you time. Time is money. It's the equalizer. Long term, you won't have to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have some other ideas. You know, I mentioned I want to do my podcast, two thirds of them, I want to do them live.
Yeah.
I want to be able to have people call in, video in and do them live. I like the spontaneity of that.
Mm-hmm.
I like the accessibility of that. I think that now Dr. Laura being gone, that was still a huge market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got Delilah, mm-hmm. who does her radio show at night. And does he love me? Well, let me play you a song, darling. It's like, what the heck?
That ain't gonna work. Yeah. No, so there's a need for connection out there and all that. Yeah. But yeah, exactly what you're saying. You know your value, your true value, and actually delegate the rest or lean on others.
Delegate everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, ultimately, that's a business when you delegate everything and you go on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love it, man. So I know, I wanted to take it back really fast to like this alter ego kind of thing with the cosplay. You know, Matt brought it up. What's like, you see the Tony Stark and Elon Musk, comparison. That's kind of, it's not what I want to call it his alter ego, but you see someone like, let's see, Beyonce with Sasha Fierce.
Yep.
You know, there's a point where it's almost like
we were talking about Garth Brooks had a rock and roll alter ego.
Yeah.
For a long time, when I was a young man, I would get on stage and I would do magic. And I was a great magician. I loved magic. And usually when you love something, you become good at it because you do it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I loved magic. And so I do my magic show. And as a teenager, these teenage girls would come up to me afterwards and they'd say, oh my God, you're so amazing. We should go hang. We'd go hang out, and within 5 minutes, I'd watch their eyes gloss over. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. And what was going on is on stage, I was massively confident.
Mm.
On stage, I was all that.
Mm-hmm.
When I got off stage, because of my insecurities and my bad subconscious programming, I was this insecure guy with zero charisma.
Mm.
And when I would get off stage and go on the date, that's who they'd see.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to ask myself one day, I said, okay, which guy are you?
Mm.
And the answer was, I was both.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, which guy would be the better guy to be full time? And the answer was obvious.
I like it.
And so I said, okay, what does the guy that's on stage do that the guy that's off stage doesn't do?
Mm.
And the guy that was on stage knew he was all that.
Mm-hmm.
And he would approach the audience, I'm all that. You're lucky to be in my presence. And off stage, I was always programmed to be humble and, be shy. And when I realized that, I'd get off stage and I'd say, no, you're all that.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to that girl, you're doing her a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when I sell things, I don't sell for me. I sell for them.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody doesn't buy for me, I don't feel bad for me. I feel bad for them.
Yeah. Sure.
And I'll ask him, I'll say, oh my God, forgive me. I like you. I don't know how this happened. How in the world? I screwed this up. You didn't buy from me. And I know you need this. You've told me you want this. So, what did I mess up? What did I not clearly communicate? And then they'll tell you how to close them.
Mm.
And so back to the cosplay, how do I become, my wife and I, we've been together for 14 years and we'll have a challenge every once in a while and I'll pause and I'll say, okay, what would a really good husband do right now?
Mm.
A really good husband would shut his mouth. A really good husband would rather be happy than right.
Yeah.
A really good husband would just say, you know what, honey, I'm going to pick my battles and I'm not picking this one.
Yeah.
It's not that important. That doesn't mean that I always do that, except it's the question, what would a great husband do?
Mm.
When I know something could be harmful to her or our family, then a good husband would hold his ground.
Oh, yeah.
And say, no, on this one, I'm going to be firm. This is my choice.
So what do you do? What if you don't know what an ex person would do? What if you don't know what a billionaire would do, what a millionaire would do, what a confident person would do? How do you get those skills if you don't know how to step into that yet?
Good question. You hack.
Hmm.
So, when my hair started going thin, one of the things I didn't like about that is it was something I wasn't in control of.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I said, you know what? Maybe I should just shave my head. I want to take a stance on this.
Uh-huh.
Now, you guys are hairy, so you don't understand me. Especially you. You're really hairy.
Yeah.
The the thing about it was I started looking at people, as dumb as this is, because it's got nothing to do with success. I started looking for people that had shaved heads and were also highly successful. Mm. Because there was something in my psyche. My four brothers have Elvis Presley heads of hair. I mean, they're gorgeous, big bouffant nice. Yeah, kind of hairdos. Yeah. Not me. And so for me, what I thought was you had to have a full head of hair to be successful. Mm. I would always be self-conscious about it. And finally, when I just said, no, find people that are successful, you hack that.
Yeah.
So you said, you know, I don't know X, what would X do? You know, what would this person do? Find somebody that's doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm a high school dropout. Mm-hmm. And so I had to find mentors that were high school dropouts so I wouldn't use that as an excuse. Mm-hmm. I was very, like I said, shy and socially inept, awkward growing up. Mm-hmm. And I had to say, who's overcome that? How did they overcome that? What did they do?
Yeah.
So now, you know, how long does it take to become a deca billionaire? Mm-hmm. 10 times over.
Yeah.
5 years or less.
Who are you modeling now or looking at?
I'm looking at, you know, one of the tenets of what I teach is communication equals wealth.
Well, Jeff Bezos has the same hairstyle, so you got to, you know.
Bezos is a good example. He's a not so great a human being, in my opinion, but a great example for success in business,
right,
for sure.
Right.
Bezos is a good example because you take a guy who was massively unsuccessful for years, losing billions of dollars with a B of his investors' money.
10 plus years, right?
Selling books, yes.
Yeah.
Selling books. And then one day he said, you know, I feel like I'm this close. Maybe I should sell everything.
Yeah.
Last ditch effort. Maybe I should just sell everything. Mm-hmm. And suddenly Amazon is really fully born.
Right.
For me, this CSI program, me putting $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 in a month in a person's bank account, with their effort not being huge, again, minimizing it, mm-hmm. Not huge, but that's a huge difference in their life.
Oh, yeah.
So when I can make that kind of a difference, let's call it $50,000 in somebody's pocket. They put 20 people in a room. Well, what is 20 people? That's one a day, 5 days a week, 4 weeks out of the month. That's one a day. Mm-hmm. And it puts $50,000 in their pocket. How many times can we do that? Can we do it 100 times? So if we have 100 times 20, well, it's 2,000, okay. Could we do it 1,000 times? Well, that's 20,000 people in a month watching us virtually.
Oh, my gosh.
My costs are reduced. My reach is enhanced.
Yeah.
They're making money at their location. You know, one of the barriers for me, especially now, in attending a conference, I'm not getting on a commercial flight. I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. I've got to stay in a hotel. So it's probably, you know, two extra days other than the conference to go somewhere else to learn.
Right.
If I know I can go to my neighbor's house, drive there in 15 minutes, sleep in my own bed every night. Already after our first CSI event, we had people saying, I want to do this every single month.
Wow.
And I told my CSI people, I said, look, first month you'll have an audience. The next month you'll have half that audience and a brand new audience too. Mm. And every single month it's going to grow.
Yeah.
So this woman that was giddy, you know, she's made $72,000 to $90,000 already. She said, so does that mean next month I can make $150,000? Yeah. I said, absolutely. Yeah. And the next month maybe she's got it.
Yeah.
And she's never gotten it in her life. Now she gets it.
Wow.
So again, as we wrap up this, two things. May I let people know how to get a hold of me?
Of course, yeah. That would be always.
You can check me out at Silver, S-Y-L-V-E-R.com. That's my last name. You can call my office if you want more information on any of our programs, 1-800-92-POWER, 1-800-92-POWER. You can find me on Facebook. Drop me a personal message. I'll answer you. I answer everybody. And more than that, I have a gift for you. So you DM me on my on Facebook, or you contact my office, say you listen to this entire broadcast, and I'm doing this at the end of the broadcast on purpose. Let us know you listen to the entire broadcast. Give them the code word Sterling. Sterling is the code word, and they'll give you two tickets to my $3,000 event called Turning Point, totally free as a gift from the folks here on the show. So thanks,
awesome.
Guys.
Appreciate that.
All good.
Thank you,
man. My pleasure.
This has been amazing.
Good
round
stuff.
Two complete, and hope you enjoyed it and come back for more. Yeah, check out the video, because if you're not watching the video, you're missing out on a lot. So thank you, Marshall. Until next time.
My pleasure.
See ya.
Awesome. What an amazing conversation with Marshall Silver. It was awesome to be able to do it in his studio. So thank you again, Marshall, for allowing us to use your Certainty Theater up in Carlsbad, California to record that session. It made for an awesome backdrop. So anybody who only listened to this episode but didn't watch on video, make sure you go over to hustleandflowchart.tv and watch the video version, because you can see behind the scenes of what it looks like inside of Certainty Theaters, where Marshall runs his stage hypnotist shows. news all the time. Really, really cool video, completely different look from most of our other Hustle and Flowchart videos. So you'll enjoy that. Make sure you're watching the YouTube channel over at hustleandflowchart.tv. Also, if you want the notes from this episode, go to hustleandflowchart.com/notes. We took all of the notes on this episode, put it into an action guide, a Cliff's Notes review of everything we talked about. You can have it completely for free if you get it within 2 weeks of this episode going live. Just go to hustleandflowchart.com/notes and you can opt in and we'll send you the notes from this one for free. All right, so pretty sweet deal. Final thing, check out Easy Webinar. Easy Webinar has been a longtime supporter and sponsor of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. We love them. When we do webinars, we use Easy Webinar, and they're hooking you up with a discount for being a Hustle and Flowchart listener. If you go to easywebinar.com/hustle, they're giving you some big percentage off. I don't remember exactly what it is. I think it's different if you pick the monthly or the annual. But if you go to Hustle and Flowchart or easywebinar.com/flowchart, you can grab Easy Webinar. It does all the live webinars, the automated webinars, the hybrid webinars. You can build your landing pages. It does the analytics. It tracks who registers. It does everything you'd want to do with webinars. So go to easywebinar.com/hustle. Thanks so much to Easy Webinar for supporting this show. And if there's anybody you know that would find this episode valuable, make sure you point them our direction. Point them to hustleandflowchart.tv or point them to hustleandflowchart.com to listen to the audio version. We would thank you so much and really appreciate you sharing this stuff around. That's how we get more views and listeners, is because people like you telling others to come check it out. So thank you for doing that, and we really appreciate you, and we'll see you guys in the next Hustle and Flowchart video or audio, depending on where you're watching or listening to this. See you guys later.